This is the Your Vote, Your Voice Election 2020 podcast. Keep it tuned to 1030 The Voice for everything Election 2020. Local and national races, all the updates. Election 2020 lives on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Brendan Lyons, good to have you back in the studio, even over the phone. How are you?
Oh, Zach, good morning. It's great to be on. And as always, your show is so consistent, so uplifting, and always about the issues facing Southern Arizona and our state. So thank you for having me.
No, thank you so much, Brendan. I appreciate that. This is a fun question that I enjoy asking every candidate, RDI, first-time candidate, elected, doesn't matter. I ask this question. What was your tipping point, Brendan? What was that moment where you said, I got to get in this race specifically. I got to get in and serve in this way. I'm the guy for the job. Let's start there. We'll talk a little bit about your background and go from there.
Well, honestly, my tipping point was the building of relationships over the last several years and finally getting a piece of legislation that's been near and dear to my heart passed by Governor Doug Ducey last April. And finally realizing just a month after that was done, I graduated from the U of A with my master's in public administration, and I was asking myself, what's next? Well, I was able to leverage my voice, and that empowered me. And so there's a lot of other issues that I care about, and I think we can do a lot more for the state of Arizona.
Brendan Lyons, what's your take on LD9 as you analyze the landscape of that district? Where is it, and are you finding as you're meeting with people? I mean, pre-COVID, I know you got a lot of your signatures before things shut down, and that's good. But as you were talking to people in real life, were you hearing certain issues pop up, things that people care about in LD9?
Well, I think they care about Southern Arizona as a whole. LD9 is a pretty large Democrat district, and that surprises a lot of people because the location of LD9 is in the foothills. So you have a lot of high dollar property value, but the concentration of what makes up the voter population also includes Flowing Wells and 30% of northern Tucson. So it runs from about Sabino Canyon to west to I-10. It goes from Midtown as far south as Speedway. So it's a pretty large area, but as far as some of the issues go, I mean, people care about public safety, education, and business. I mean, wanting to see Southern Arizona thrive. We want to grow jobs and things like that. And frankly, that's what my platform's on, and I'm sure we'll get to that.
For sure. Yeah. And as I've mentioned on social media, and for anyone listening, my questioning, especially with electeds or candidates, is what is the road to rebuilding? How do we respond to COVID-19? So that'll be a second segment conversation. But we're just kind of getting to know Brendan Lyons, Republican running in Legislative District 9 here in this first segment this morning. You mentioned it briefly, Brendan, but give us a little bit more background on how you got involved in some of the legislation that you worked on in the past few years and kind of your community involvement. And then we'll dive into policy in just a few minutes.
Sounds good. Yeah. So I was a former firefighter. That was my dream job. And I studied here locally at Pima Community College, went to Northern Arizona University as well as the U of A for my master's. But I'll get into that. But while serving as a career firefighter in Southern Arizona, I became concerned about distracted driving after responding to far too many crashes. And while my personal and professional life experiences compelled me to create a social change of behavior. So in 2012, I took action and launched a nonprofit through Look Save a Life to bring about awareness to all who utilize our public roadways. And discussing about the ever-increasing ways of distracted driving and talking about this. Well, Zach, in a twist of irony, a year later, I became a statistic of the very epidemic that I was advocating against. On October 4th, 2013, a motorist at 45 miles an hour looked down to see who was calling, swerved into the bike lane on my day off as a firefighter, and struck my fiance and I from behind as we bicycled on the morning of her birthday. So this was back in 2013. And so at the time, my pelvis was fractured. I had six fractured vertebrae. I sustained at the time a traumatic brain injury that I recovered from and bit off half my tongue from clenching down upon impact. I was uncertain if I would ever walk again. And so, of course, I was told that my firefighting career was over. And even at that time, throughout my recovery, I took action. I threw myself into fighting for tougher laws, Zach, I traveled the state working with local government. Cities, towns, and counties quickly made changes. But for the Arizona legislature, it took them 6 years. Well, once again, I said, during that time, I studied at the University of Arizona and earned a master's degree from the School of Government and Public Policy, where I served as a president of the Public Affairs Student Association through the School of Government and Public Policy. Well, Zach, I learned so much about this, and this is kind of what threw me into wanting to run for office. I set aside my own partisan politics to work both with Republicans and Democrats in our legislature. And as a result, once again, last April, with overwhelming bipartisan support, Governor Doug Ducey signed Arizona's hands-free distracted driving bill into law.
Wow, and that was kind of the experience that gave you a taste of working in the legislature. I have so many questions around kind of your platform and what you're aiming to do, but just in way of wrapping up the bio in the last 1 or 2 minutes here, anything specifically in the Tucson community that you have been involved with or has kind of pushed you into public service?
Because
you're a younger candidate running for office, and I've talked about on the air that we usually kind of don't give those candidates a second or third look in Tucson. My thing has been, I think we need to be looking at what younger candidates have to offer at this time during COVID-19. I think the future is going to call on some younger candidates. Give us maybe one or two things in the local Tucson community that have brought you to this point, and then we'll go to a break.
Becca, you just cut out. Are you still there?
I am. Can you hear me? Are you good?
All right.
Perfect. Yes.
So my involvement in the community. So after that crash happened, I kind of asked myself, what's next? I mean, I didn't, you know, your doctors, it's almost like being a professional athlete at one point. You're working as a professional firefighter and you receive this life-altering injury. And so what's next? And so, I kind of entrenched myself in the community, in the Southern Arizona community. I started with, once again, I launched that nonprofit, Look Save a Life, in 2012, and then the crash happened in 2013. Well, that became part of the Greater Tucson Leadership Program, and through that program, I learned about issues facing our community, like government, border issues, healthcare, education, criminal justice, all these things, that policies that I thought I had a real grasp on Southern Arizona and Tucson, and until going through that program, I just learned so much more about the issues. So then after that program, I became even more involved, and I became a board director of Greater Tucson Leadership, part of the governance committee. This last year, I joined the Emerging Leaders Council with the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce that are doing incredible things, especially amidst COVID-19. I'm a member of the Tucson Young Professionals, a group that I know you're part of, and doing really big things in Southern Arizona. I became an honorary commander at Davis Air Force Base, assigned to the 25th Operational Weather Squadron. And that program, kind of, you're a civilian leader in the community, and they pair you up with a squadron to be the conduit between the men and women who serve in our military installation and the conduit between Southern Arizona. And we showcase and highlight the amazing things that Southern Arizona is doing, and maybe they can build roots after they retire from our military. And again, there's been many other things I've been involved with, like the Ronald McDonald House, the Red Shoe Society. I was a co-founder of the Arizona Distracted Driving Summit that's held annually at our state capitol. Once again, I served as the president of the Public Affairs Student Association through the School of Government and Public Policy at the University of Arizona. And I mean, that's some of my involvement in Southern Arizona, and of course, much, much more.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, that's a good spot to kind of pivot there. Let's go to our first break. We'll springboard from that to talking about this race specifically. You're the only Republican now in the race. There's three candidates running total, R&D, two seats up for grabs. I want to talk about the choice that voters will have between you three and how you think you stand out. I want to talk about your legislative priorities, thoughts on response to COVID-19, and more, Brendan. We're going to go to a quick break. so we can fit in as much as possible. But Brendan Lyons on the air with us the first half of the hour, Republican running in Legislative District 9 here in the state of Arizona. We'll be right back after a short break. Don't go anywhere, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Good morning, Tucson. Welcome on back in. We're just coming back in from a short break here for part two of our debut candidate conversation with Brendan Lyons. He's a Republican candidate for the Arizona House of Representatives in Legislative District 9. We're continuing with our election 2020 coverage here locally. Your vote, your voice. We got to know Brendan a little bit better in the first segment, and now we're going to dive into the policy side of things. So, Brendan, correct me if I'm wrong, but the dynamic at play is that there are two seats that are up for election in Legislative District 9, two people, two seats. There are three candidates, two Democrats, and just recently you became the only Republican. There were a couple others considering it. Steve Remus was in the race for a while, just recently dropped out. You're the only Republican, which means there's three people for two seats going into the general election, which will mean, Brendan, if I have this all straight, correct me if I'm wrong, that Democrats and independents in LD9 will have the chance to give you a look for their vote. If they're looking at you and Pamela Powers Hanley and Dr. Freese, the two Democrats in the race, what makes you stand out? Why should someone give you a look? How do you differentiate yourself in this race?
Just throughout my involvement at the state capitol and even here locally on issues, and an effort to be collaborative that, you know, I can talk to you and you can be Democrat, you can be independent, you can be Republican. Let's talk about the issues and let's solve problems. And yes, I have an R next to my name and I stand by that. But it's about people. I'm people focused and results driven, and I want to solve problems.
Brendan, what are your legislative priorities? If you had to kind of boil down your platform into three things, and someone says, Brendan Lyons, what are you for? What's your platform? Give us the quick overview.
Absolutely. I want to improve education. I want to support public safety, and I want to grow jobs in the economy.
And since that was just so straightforward, what a lot of people are very invested in education in many ways. What's an area of education that you would like to legislatively work on should you fill one of those two seats?
Without question, Zach. And having grown up in Southern Arizona, right here, I've experienced both public and private schools. I'm also passionate about it as it pertains to improving education in order to empower our next generation. In Pima County, 43% of children are not proficient in reading by third grade, as measured by the Arizona Merit in 2019. Pima County's high school graduation rate is 74%. That's below the 84% national average. These percentages are a forecast, Zach, into our economy. Irrefutably, communities cannot thrive without investing in childhood education. And I would bring together organizations such as Cradle to Career and Achieve 60 to collaborate utilizing metrics and data systems to support a pathway not only to high school graduation, but post-secondary education. And this could be leveraged to help attract businesses right here in Southern Arizona.
You know, Brendan, a lot of members of your party have a very diverse debate on early childhood education, funding education. You're a younger professional Republican. What is that kind of balance of taxpayer dollars, early childhood education? How do you balance that when you're on the trail, when you're talking to people? Why do you believe so much in the importance of that investment?
Well, I think single-handedly, when you have educated people, you have smart leaders that are leading on the issues and building jobs in our economy. And as far, you know, prior to COVID-19, I think this would be a completely another conversation. The Governor Doug Ducey has touted we have a $1 billion surplus in the rainy day fund. And, you know, looking at as Arizona has done such a great job, you can invest in education without raising taxes. It's just by making education a priority. And so again, but now with COVID-19, I think we're going to have a deeper look on how are we going to fund certain platforms in our community, and education certainly one of them.
For sure. And just to catch our listeners up as well, in general, I try to schedule a minimum of 2 interviews with every single candidate that I can. This first one's usually a get to know you and kind of a broad platform. The second one is designed to be a little bit more detailed. And so I'm looking forward to future conversations with all the candidates. Brendan, we've got about 5 minutes left, and you segued really well into something that I really want to talk about. And that is, what is the road to rebuilding? Should you sit in that seat at the Arizona House of Representatives in the fall, you will be tasked with a rebuilding effort for the next 2 years related to getting our economy and our state back up off the ground from COVID-19. If you were in the seat today and you had the magic wand to make things happen, what would some of your first moves be to assure Arizonans that we can rebuild and hopefully sooner than later?
You know, I like to give a perspective from where my background is. And as a former firefighter, we learned to handle critical emergency situations with 3 strategic priorities. The first one is life safety. We need to do all we can to make sure that life safety and our health care is upfront and paramount. Second is incident stabilization, and third is property conservation. So as it pertains to upfront, we need to risk a lot to save a lot, risk little to save little, and risk nothing to save no viable life or property. And this basis risk assessment, Zach, is typically applied to fire incidents that can easily be applied here. It's good to take drastic measures, utilize all available resources necessary to save lives. Then secondary, we can take steps necessary to work toward revitalizing jobs and stabilizing the economy. So what needs to be done to revitalize those jobs, Zach, is simple. Here in Arizona, once again, I said that it should be lauded that Arizona's rainy day fund is up to a whopping $1 billion, roughly 8.8% of the budget expenditure. Well, it's raining, and $50 million of that has already been pulled for Arizona's COVID-19 response. And this money will help Arizona's needing eviction assistance, struggling small businesses, our food banks, and our local homeless population. First and foremost, we need to address our most vulnerable population, because if try to get people back on their feet, back into jobs, getting them off welfare. If anything should be looked at, temporarily eliminating payroll taxes and fees related to restaurants and small businesses and tax credits, I think right now it's way too soon to look at raising taxes, because people aren't working. Jobs are suffering. Raising taxes right now is not the smart thing to do. And that's just kind of my take.
A couple quick follow-up questions I'm going to try to fit in here, Brendan. We got about 2.5 minutes. That's the dynamic of being on the phone, is we can't see the same clock together. This issue is becoming I think, more divided on partisan lines in terms of, do we continue the public health practice or do we reopen the economy? A lot of Republicans say reopen ASAP. A lot of Democrats say keep things closed. And sadly, it's very divided on partisan lines, I think, to a large degree. Where do you line up on that timeline? You're a Republican candidate, Arizona House LD9. Do you think what would you do?
Remember that the lens that I look at is from public safety and healthcare. I want to make sure that our citizens, our first responders, our healthcare workers are safe first and foremost. And I think if we look at other cities across the nation and seeing how much this skyrocketed, such as New York City, my fiance almost was going to be called out to New York to serve in one of those tents built up in the garden there. And this is a very real health pandemic. And I think us in Southern Arizona, we may not be seeing it, but I'm going to leverage the advice from our scientists and our healthcare professionals to help weigh in on that decision. But right now, safety is first and foremost a priority for me.
Brendan Lyons, candidate for Arizona State House, LD9. Lyons 4, the number 4, lyons4az.com is your website. Probably the best place for people to get a hold of you, volunteer, follow up. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. And in fact, I'm happy to give out my phone number on the air. It's 305-9874.
Perfect. I've always found Brendan to be very accessible, so take him up on that. Brendan, again, you've been on the show before about your nonprofit, but first time as a candidate. Best of luck to you in this really weird campaign season. You picked a heck of a time to run a campaign for the first time, and thanks for spending a few moments with us, and we'll do this again soon.
Zach, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Brendan.